I just want to read two verses to you from Isaiah chapter number 60, if you'd be finding your place there, if you would please. Isaiah chapter number 60, and then I want to explore the rest of the chapter in its entirety. Isaiah chapter 60, and so if you'd find your place, and when you do, would you rise to your feet as we honor the public reading of God's holy, infallible, inspired, inerrant, immutable, irreversible, irrefutable Word. Share a couple of thoughts with you here, if I could, from this tonight that the Lord has placed upon my heart. Isaiah chapter 60, I'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible here says, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people." Oh, I like this. "But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee." And when we look at the first two verses of this experience, we see what the Bible calls gross darkness that has come upon the people, referring here to the people of God. But then we also see that the Bible tells us that there is what I'm calling tonight a breakthrough of the light of God in the middle of the darkest hours of the people of God's life. Isn't that wonderful? I want to speak to you tonight around this theme that I mentioned this morning. I need a breakthrough. I wonder how many of us here tonight, we just need a breakthrough, no matter what it might be. Maybe our lives, our relationships, our health, our jobs, our families. It doesn't matter. We just need a breakthrough. We need the Lord to show us something. We need God to show up, or we're done. We need the Lord's help. That's what I want to speak to you about tonight. Holy Father, I come to you again in Jesus' name on this Sunday night. I'm thankful for what your word has already taught us, Lord, today, and what we've heard in song tonight. Thank you again for your grace that you've shown us. Now, Lord, I do plead the blood of the Lord Jesus, and Lord, yielding myself to you. And as I stood up a moment ago to walk to this place, I was reminded by your Spirit of the vast responsibility that there is lying ahead of me now. And so, Lord, I pray that you would touch your preacher. You would help your people tonight. I plead the blood, purge my heart, use me for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. As we have all been and really are still in navigating our way through what we've been calling a crisis in America concerning the coronavirus, there's been one thing that has been constant, one thing that has been at the forefront of everything else, and that has been to find a virus cure for it, a vaccine for this coronavirus that has been out there. As a matter of fact, there have been individual companies, corporations, and then governors, governments all across the world who have been on a quest, a race really, to be the first to be able to find it. Every day they are looking for a breakthrough in their research to not only be able to provide and bring the life-saving and life-altering virus vaccine to the world, but also to be able to gain the reputation and the riches of it. In the eyes of this world, this virus is darkness. But may I remind us today that they're looking for a breakthrough in the middle of what they are calling darkness in this world. I imagine most of us walked into this building in one way or another tonight, and we are looking for some form of a breakthrough in our lives. I mentioned it just a little while ago, but perhaps you are at your wit's end with your spouse, and you are looking for a breakthrough from the Lord so you can have a productive marriage. Perhaps you are just in a situation where your depression has come to its darkest moments, and you are looking for a breakthrough to get help from God in your life. Perhaps your spiritual growth has been stunted. Perhaps it's stopped altogether, and you know that it has, and you're looking for a breakthrough from the Lord to be able to come into your situation and to be able to give you what you need to live for God, to make it through this life and live a productive Christian life. If you can identify with any of those things that I just mentioned or anything else, and I encourage you to listen very closely to what the Lord is going to tell us out of Isaiah chapter number 60. Isaiah 60 is painting a picture of sorts to us of the time when the nation of Israel, the people of God, will have the righteousness of God rising upon them in the midnight darkness of their existence, and it's going to serve as a breakthrough in their national existence and as a people. Isaiah is writing toward, now understand that, he is writing toward the time. Remember, it's prophetic. He is writing toward the time when the people of God will no longer be under the government of God, but as McKenna just sang a minute ago, under the grace of God. This prophetic chapter that we are reading and studying this evening is the fulfillment of God's people in the millennial reign of Christ, is the picture that it is painting. Now, the way this chapter is written, Isaiah is looking at the prophecy as if it is already history. Remember that. He is looking at the prophecy as if it is already history. You see, for God to say something is going to happen, it means in God's mind it has already happened. It's as good as done. I like the way McGee put it. He said, prophecy is the mold into which history is poured. Could I say that again? Prophecy is the mold into which history is poured. So with all that said, and with that understanding, I want us to take this prophecy that we are seeing here tonight, and I want us to apply its principles to the life of the child of God as we are walking in this day. Those of us who came in here this evening saying, I need a breakthrough from the Lord. God's got something for us today through this that I think will help us. Now, to experience this breakthrough from God that we all need, it must first begin with a breakthrough of the glory of God. A breakthrough of the glory of God. Now, you listen to me. If there is one thing that the child of God, the professing believer, needs today, along with the dead, dried up, I mean the dying church of America that we are seeing all around us today, if there is one thing that we need, it is a breakthrough of the glory of God. I'm talking about God just to come down on the churches of America, to land on this little hill right here. I love it when the Lord just moves into this place. There's something special that just happened. This morning in the service, I got to preaching, and it just seemed like all of a sudden God stepped right into the middle of it. And it's just a wonderful time when He does that. He takes full control of it. That's what we need in our day today, is a breakthrough of the glory of God. The average believer in the average Baptist church anymore in our day, they have absolutely no idea what the very real manifestation of the glory of God is anymore. And it's such a sad state that we are in today that people are uncomfortable when God shows up into a service, when the Holy Spirit of God begins to move in a service and people go to getting jittery and it's uncomfortable and they're just ready to run for the door. I tell you, I love it when God shows up. He starts revealing things in my life that I need to get right, and I find myself weeping, I find myself worshiping, and I find myself down on my knees before God just getting right and asking Him to make me better for Him. I tell you, we need a breakthrough of the glory of God, because in our day today, there is a laborer's slumber. First of all, there is a laborer's slumber. Study the text with me. Going back to verse number 1, the Bible says, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Now, verse number 1 opens with the word arise, which is giving us the idea that some of the most critical people in the work of God, the work that was needing to be done, the people of God, they had gotten lazy. They had even fallen asleep. I don't know about you, but it's easy for me sometimes to get lazy and to fall asleep on the things of God. Verse number 2 goes on a little bit further to say, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. Now look at this, and gross darkness the people. He's saying not only is the world going to be a dark place, there's going to be darkness in the hearts of people. In other words, there's going to be such confusion. You're not going to know what's right. You're not going to know what's wrong anymore. There's going to be darkness there. You're not going to be able to see a clear path forward. You see, when God's people get a little lazy, when we begin to close our eyes, when we begin to doze off, even just a little bit on the demanding work of God that He has placed us here to do, to share the gospel, to win this world to the Lord Jesus, when we begin to doze off a little bit, then we begin to see darkness, and darkness begins to get bigger. It gets darker. That darkness expands. Now, we all know that when it gets dark, it gets a little bit easier to sleep. How many of you can sleep in the middle of the day? I have a hard time with that. When it gets dark, it's easier just to fall asleep. And sometimes if we've been in the darkness long enough, We become accustomed to the darkness. We get used to the darkness. And if we stay in that darkness long enough, then we're even going to start liking that darkness. It's going to appeal to this old flesh that we are still living in. The word arise that the Scripture uses here, it means literally to be endowed with energy. Boy, I need that sometimes, to be endowed with energy, to enjoin, to get up, or to help out, in this case, to get up and join yourself to the work of God and invest your life into serving the God who has redeemed you, the God who has spared you from hell. God is saying that you have been asleep long enough and you need to get up now. And if you are really looking for a breakthrough from God, it is time for you to wake up, for you to stand up, to clean up, to suit up, to join up, and to hold up the blood-stained banner of the living God in the middle of this dark age. Laborers today, they have fallen asleep. And when laborers fall asleep, things seem to get darker. But I'm thankful that's not where the prophet stops, aren't you? He not only talks here about the laborer's slumber, but then he talks about the Lord shining. No matter how dark it gets, aren't you thankful, brother, that there is the Lord that'll shine His light on the darkness of our life? Look further in verse number 2 where the Scripture declares to us, "But the Lord shall arise upon thee." Now we notice the words, "the Lord shall arise." When we study the construction of this verse, it is meaning to us here that it is a future work that the Lord will do. He will arise upon us. Now there is an important spiritual truth that we need to get in our hearts in this night in the house of God. In verse number 1, the word arise, it is used in reference to the people of God. Remember, we just looked at that. It is used in reference to the people of God. God is saying, get up. He's saying, arise. But when we come to verse number 2, that same word arise, it is used in the response that the Lord gives to the people of God. Are you seeing that? In other words, what I am telling you here, that God requires you to move before He's going to move. He requires us to take the first step before He is going to meet us in what we need in our life. God is letting His people know that having a breakthrough of the glory of God all starts with you and I coming to a point and to a place in our life where we make a choice that we need to see God. We're not willing to live another day until God intervenes and steps into our life. We've got to come to the place that we make a choice. How many times have we studied it before that we've got to make a choice? God has placed within the heart of man that responsibility of making a choice. Now, I may just kindly as I can say it this way, but the responsibility that you and I have to be able to help somebody along in their spiritual life, to try to help them along in their spiritual life, it stops when they refuse to help themselves. You understand that? If somebody else won't help themselves, I'm just kindly saying it is an absolute waste of everybody else's time. And I'm not trying to be harsh, but it's an absolute waste of everybody else's time if they aren't willing to help themselves. We're wasting everybody's time. When they do this, the Lord says further in verse number 2 that He will arise upon thee. In other words, when they take a step to God, the Lord is saying, I am going to arise upon you. And He says that His glory shall be seen upon thee. The breakthrough of God's glory, it will not only be sensed by you, but it's going to be seen by others. In other words, you're going to experience God. You're going to sense His presence on the inside when He breaks through the darkness of our life. But when He does that, it's going to bubble all outside, and the rest of this dark world that is out there, they're going to see God in our life. And we're going to be a witness and a testimony, even when we're not even trying. That's how real God will be. That's how bright the shining light of His breakthrough will be. Tell you honestly, folks, I've come to a place in my life and in my ministry where I burn deep down in the inside of my soul to have the glory and the presence and the power of God resting on my life. I lay awake many nights just praying to myself. We were talking a few minutes ago, just praying just to myself in the middle of the night, tears running down my face saying, God, use me. God, put your hand on me. I pray every morning, God, I want you to use me. I'm not in this thing just to collect a paycheck. I'm not in this thing to build some names and stand under the light. I want God to put his hand on my life. And one day when I stand before him at the judgment seat, he'll say, well done. You took what I gave you, as broken and as messed up as it truly was, you took it and you gave it to me. And I took those broken pieces and I used your life. What a joy it'll be on the other side when God says you did what I asked you to do. Oh, what God could do in this place, what God could do in all of our life, what God could do on this hill, in this church, in this community, in this city, and in this county, in our state, in our nation, if every one of us would just have a breakthrough of the glory of God on our life all the time. You want to get God on your life, it all starts with having a breakthrough of the glory of God. You see, when we have a breakthrough of the glory of God, it will then lead to a breakthrough of the goodness of God. A breakthrough of the goodness of God. What I mean by that is when God breaks through with his glory, you start seeing things for what they really are. You start to see how good God's been to us. Just how merciful he's been to a bunch of wicked, wretched, good-for-nothing, vile, hell-deserving sinners. You'll start seeing this thing for what it's really like. You won't think we're a bunch of crazy people anymore for lifting our hands, shedding our tears, lifting our voices, blessing the name of God that redeemed us. When you have a breakthrough of the glory of God, that will automatically reveal a breakthrough of the goodness of God. Look at it in the scripture with me in the third verse. The Bible says in verse number 3, and the Gentiles, we'll study that in a moment, but the Gentiles shall come to thy light. In other words, God's people are going to be the ones that are under the light, under thy light. They're experiencing the goodness of God. And look at this, and kings, it says, this is the top of the world, the brightness of thy rising. Now remember the context of what is going on. Isaiah is prophetically writing about the day when God's people will be finally at peace. After a world, after a lifetime in a world filled with such hatred against the people of God and against the things of God, a world that just absolutely hate God, they are going to experience a breakthrough of the glory of God, and that breakthrough of the glory of God is going to relate to a breakthrough of the goodness of God. Verse number 3, it goes on to tell us that this goodness that is going to come, it is going to be from the Gentiles. That's going to be the ones that are going to be showing kindness at this point to the Jews, and it's going to be coming from the kings. It means all of those who had persecuted the people of God for their entire existence. All of those haters of the people of God, they are going to bring their whole lives to the people of God. Why? Because that's where hope is going to be shining in that day. They're going to lose everything. In this day, there's going to be nothing left for them. They would have lived their life for their own temporary things in this world. But in this day, it's going to be proven that God was the only thing that ever mattered. And they're going to realize that, and they're going to be coming, running to the people of God. Now the next 15 or so verses, they give us detail of what this experience is going to be like. I do not have time tonight to develop all that. So what I want to do is take these principles that we see in these 15 or so verses and apply them to our life, beginning, first of all, with a faithful provision that we see in the text. There is a faithful provision. How many of you can testify that God's just been faithful to you in His provision? You've never lacked for anything as a child of God. God has just been faithful. Look at verse number 4. Remembering the context of the Scripture, we are now in a time where God's people are finally seeing the breakthrough of the glory of God in their life. A world that's hated them. A world that has totally turned their backs on them for the entire existence of the nation and the people. When we come to verse number 4, we see the goodness of God being poured out on His people. Look at it. He's telling them here, He says, lift up thine eyes round about and see all they gather themselves together. Look at this. They come to thee. In other words, it's giving us the idea right now that God's people are wondering why all these people are coming to them. Why they're bringing all these things to them. Why the goodness of God is being poured out. And they don't understand it. But the Lord says, hey, relax. This is all for you. This is my blessing. I've given you a breakthrough of my glory. And now I'm going to give you a breakthrough of my goodness. Verse number 5. It goes on to talk about, let's just read it. Verse number 5. And let's see, he enlarges, and he goes on to talk about here how the coast, the seas are going to be enlarged. They're going to have control of the seas. Verse number 6 goes on to talk about all the camels. It's making a reference here to all of the livestock of the world is going to be theirs at this point. And then in verse number 6, further, he talks about the silver and the gold, the incense. He talks about that again in verse number 9. There's so much we could say about verses 4 through 17. But the bottom line of what I really want us to see right here, and it is a picture that the prophet is painting to us, a prophetic event by which they will be coming, God's people are going to be there, and the world is going to be coming by land, sea, and air, of all people, including the Jews, by the way. This is a picture of when God is allowing all of His Jewish people to come to their blessed homeland. The fulfillment of the promise of God that they're going to all be reunited in the promised land. And that's what we're seeing in this text here. But not just the Jews, but all of the Gentiles that are going to be coming with them. And what they are going to be doing is they are going to be giving honor to the Jews, the people of God. And they are going to be bringing all kinds of wealth and lavish gifts with them. All of these nations, these Gentile nations, these weak, these wicked, these evil people that had been demeaning the people of God for so many years, demanding payment and displaying persecution, are now going to repay the people of God for every penny that they had ever stolen from them. And they are going to be doing it with lavish gifts. It's going to be with gold, with incense, with livestock, with personnel, with manpower. They're going to be rebuilding things. They are going to be repaying everything that this old wicked world had stolen from them. All of this world that had demeaned and degraded the people of God are going to repay it with interest. They're going to pay a heavy, heavy price for persecuting the people of God. Now think about the principle. I cannot fathom the magnitude of the breakthrough of the goodness of God when all the nations of the world, led by their own rulers and their own kings that were left at this time, are going to be bringing these lavish gifts to the people of God and the land of God, and are going to be transporting the people of God back home that they tried to prevent for their entire existence. I can't imagine what a breakthrough of the goodness of God this is going to look like. But I tell you what I can tell you about. I can't tell you about what all that's going to be like. But folks, I can tell you about time after time after time after time after time again that I've seen breakthroughs of the goodness of God in my life. I've seen the Lord show up in circumstances where it seemed like God was so far away, there was no way I was going to make it. There have been days in my past where it seemed like my businesses were down to the very last day. But I tell you, God gave me a breakthrough in the middle of all of that. There have been times in my past where I had some mounting doctor bills, and you can identify with that, can't you? But God met the need. He gave me breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough. There have been times when I was totally depleted of strength. I was totally depleted of patience as well. But in my weakest moment, God time and time and time again, He gave me a breakthrough of the goodness of God. It was a breakthrough that I never could have deserved. I could go on and on and on and on. But I tell you tonight, I stand before you blessing the name of God because He's shown up and He has given me provision after provision after provision after provision. He's met every need. He's always given me something to eat. He's always given me the ability to come to the house of God. He's given me a family. He's given me hope in eternity. God has just been good to me. And with that in mind, I tell you, we don't only see in this goodness of God, in this breakthrough, that there was a faithful provision, but there's a fortified protection that He talks about as well. a fortified protection. Hey, if you get a breakthrough of the glory of God, you're going to start seeing a breakthrough of the goodness of God. It may not look like God's protecting you right now, but you need to go back and get a breakthrough of the glory of God. And then you're going to start getting a breakthrough of the goodness of God. How He provided every need. How He kept you out of snare after snare, pit out of pit through the years. Look further at the Scripture with me as we consider this fortifying protection. The Bible says right here in verse number 18, violence shall no more be heard in thy land. Now, that's all we hear about today, isn't it? Over there in the Middle East, isn't it? That's all we hear about is violence in the promised land of God. I mean, they're constantly going after them. They're constantly taking them down. I mean, really, that's all they hear about is violence. And look further, it's going to be no more, he says in verse number 18. But he also says right here, further in the verse, wasting nor destruction within thy borders. You know what he's saying? He's saying there's coming a day when the Palestinians will no longer fire another rocket into Jewish territory. There's coming a day when the Iranians will no longer chant death to Israel. There's coming a day when godless liberal American politicians will no longer try to withdraw or hold or do away with funding from the people of God in Israel. You say, I don't believe we ought to be giving money to other nations. Well, I wouldn't disagree with that in some cases, other than God's people. Why? Because He said, I will bless them that bless you and I will curse them that curse. Hey, I want to be on the side of the blessings of God, the goodness of God. Therefore, I say, give them every penny we possibly can. Build every canal we possibly can. Build every settlement in the Golan Heights we possibly can. Invest in the people of God, and God will honor you. There's even coming a day when there's not going to be any more threat of even an invasion into the land of God as well. You may say, but why? And how do we know that for sure? Well, look further at verse number 18. But thou shalt call thy walls salvation. Boy, bless the name of the Lord. Right? I'm enjoying myself tonight. I'm really having a good time studying the Scripture. I'm enjoying it more than you are, I think. But I really am having a good time thinking about the provision and the protection of God, the breakthrough of His glory, the days that He's shown up for me, the breakthroughs of His goodness, the days that He's poured that goodness out upon my life. He says, your walls are going to be salvation. And then He goes on to say, and thy gates praise. In other words, there is not anybody that is going to be able to touch you. They won't invade the nation of Israel anymore, the people of God anymore. They'll never do it because they will, for the first time ever, be forced to acknowledge that the living God of heaven was the God of the universe. They're not going to bow again to Muhammad. They're not going to bow again to any of the Hindu gods. They're not going to bow again to any other form of a false god. They will be forced, because of the breakthrough of the glory of God, they will have to admit that there is a God in heaven. There'll be a breakthrough of the goodness of God, and they're not going to be able to deny that anymore. God is letting His people know that He is going to build a ring of steel around them. Nobody's going to be able to touch them. No ladder's going to be tall enough to scale the walls, because there's salvation that is going to be found. There's going to be no piece of equipment strong enough to dig under the walls, because salvation will be found within there. No airplane is going to be able to fly over the walls. The salvation of God is going to be found in the midst of that. He is letting them all know that the day is coming when they are going to experience a breakthrough of not only the glory of God, but a breakthrough of the goodness of God. Everybody look at me and listen to me for just a minute right now. I know that it seems like right now that the evil people, the evil forces in this world led by the devil, they are firing their rockets at us into our territory. They are hurling every insult they possibly can. They are trying to snuff every bit of strength and life within us that we have left. But I want you to know that as a child of the living God, you're looking at an old boy right now that is absolutely invincible to the enemy. I am invincible, and nobody is going to be able to take me down, because I am within the walls of the salvation of God. Those of you that are down today, I mean, you're beat up, you're wore out, this world has just got you tore all to pieces, you're in depression, you're in darkness. Hey, you need to get a breakthrough of the glory of God, and then you're going to get a breakthrough of the goodness of God. You're going to realize you're a child of the living and the Most High God, and there's nobody that can touch you. There's nobody that is ever going to bring you down. If you'll just simply be willing to wake up out of our slumber, and then if we'll stand up, clean up, suit up, join up, and hold up the bloodstained banner of Christ, God has promised upon the authority of His Word, He's not only going to give us a breakthrough of the glory of God, but He's going to give us a breakthrough of the goodness of God. You mark my words, though, that when we get a breakthrough of the glory of God, that's where it all starts. We start experiencing the breakthrough of the goodness of God. Don't you ever forget, it will be then that He will give you a breakthrough of the guidance of God in your life. He will give you a breakthrough of the guidance of God. How many of us need some guidance in our life? Oh, we just need the Lord to speak to our hearts. We need God to show us what direction we need to go, what road we need to take, what path is His perfect will. We all need a breakthrough of God's guidance. Now, you got to remember the progression. You will never get God's guidance until you start seeing God's goodness. You will never see God's goodness until you see God's glory. You need to focus, first of all, on getting a breakthrough of the glory of God, and then you'll start seeing the goodness of God, how good God is, how you ought to be in hell tonight, but yet He's provided every need. He's protected you all the way around. No matter how bad things look, how dark life may be, God's just been good to you. You'll start seeing that, and when you get your perspective in place, you get your priorities in order, you'll start having a little bit of guidance in your life. I want you to write this down. This is very important. You need God's guidance in everything you do. Note that. Everything you do, no matter what it is. You need God's guidance in everything you do. Write it down. One of the hardest things in life is knowing which bridge to cross and which bridge to burn. One of the hardest things in life is knowing which bridge to cross and which bridge to burn. Many of us today are at that crossroad in our lives, aren't we? We are at the place where we are trying to determine right now, which way do I go, dear God? Which way do I go? Lord, which bridge do I burn? If I don't cross the right bridge, and if I don't burn the right bridge, I'm going to go back across that bridge. And there's some things that I need to burn. I love what the young people see. Mephibosheth, they're talking about how they bless the name of God for the day they watch those bridges burn. There's some of us tonight that need to burn some bridges in our life that we can get the guidance of God. We need to let go of some things. We need to have a breakthrough of the glory of God, a breakthrough of the goodness of God. So God will give us that breakthrough. We're tired. We're tired, so tired. We're just walking in this darkness. I'm not talking necessarily about spiritual darkness of salvation. You understand? I mean, you just need guidance of God. You know, you need to know how to be a husband, how to be a wife, how to be a mom or a dad to that child. You need to know how to make that next career step. You need to know what to do next in this life, whatever it is. You need guidance. I tell you, in our text, the Lord gives His people a breakthrough of not only the glory and the goodness, but the guidance of God. Now notice how He does it right here. Three ways. First of all, He does it with a sweet presence. Somebody say amen right there. You'll start seeing which way to go when the presence of God starts walking with you. The reason many of us are so blessed confused right now is because our lives are so stunk up with all kinds of things in this world, cluttered up with a bunch of garbage. God can't get nowhere near us because of His holiness. We have no clue what to do. And we keep going down the wrong path. Look at verse number 19, though. Oh, I like this. The Bible says here, the sun shall be no more thy light by day. Neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, look at this, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy glory, thy God, thy glory. The Lord's going to be that for us. In other words, God's going to guide our path. God's going to show us which way that we need to go. God is telling His people that the day is coming that they're no longer going to need to light a torch in the darkness to have guidance to know which way that they need to go. The day is coming when they're not going to need street lights, headlights, or spotlights anymore to know which way to go. The day is coming when they're no longer going to need the light from the sun, moon, or the stars to have guidance to know which way that they need to go. All God's people have ever experienced, all that they had ever known, was living in a crippled world of dark sin. But one day, there's not only going to be a breakthrough of the glory and the goodness, but the guidance of God Himself that is going to show us which way to go. Do you know what the problem is? I alluded to it a moment ago. Do you know what the problem is with getting guidance in our life today as we are walking this Christian life? It's sin. That's why we're so confused. That's why we're turning left and right down the wrong road constantly. That's why that we're crossing the wrong bridge. That's why we're not burning the bridges. It is sin that has clouded our lives, clouded our guidance for God. Sin is casting a shadow over the guiding light of God in our life. But folks, when we have a breakthrough of the glory of God, a breakthrough of the goodness of God, He will give us a breakthrough of the guidance of God, and it will be then that the heavenly maintenance company will come into our life and they will set up their construction site in our life. It'll be then that the heavenly work trucks, it will pull into the driveway of our life. All that heavenly crew will get out. They will strap on their tool belts of their life. And they will go and they will get their repair ladders. They will make their way into the houses of our life. That meticulous janitor, he's going to go in there and he's going to start disinfecting and mopping all the germy sin up off the floor of our life. That professional painter, he's going to go in there and he's going to start painting over with that scarlet red over all the stains on the walls of our life. Oh, that professional electrician, he is going to go in there and he's going to start replacing all of those dim light bulbs and rerunning all of the faulty wiring of all of our life. All of those things that had kept us from being for what God really wants us to be. After God, the general contractor, completes his full renovation of the messed up house, the temple of our lives that we are. After that happens, the housing inspector is then going to step in. And oh, aren't you thankful that that is Jesus? The housing inspector is then going to step in. He's going to go and he is going to get his flashlight. He's going to go and he's going to crawl under the crawl spaces up under it. You know how those housing inspectors are. They're looking for every bit of termite damage. They're looking for every bit of water damage they'd find it or would have in our house. They're looking for every little detail up under it. Then they're going to crawl up into the attic and he's going to crawl around into every corner and every crevice of the attic up there, looking and cleaning out the cobwebs, getting all the dead squirrels out, getting everything out there that doesn't need to be there in the heart of our lives. And then you know what he's going to do? He's going to go and he's going to have a meeting with the resident at that point, us at this point. He's going to come and he is going to pull out his certificate of occupancy. Just as soon as he's got everything cleaned up, he's going to sit down with that certificate and with big red ink, he is going to stamp on that suitable for dwelling at that point. You know what's going to happen then? Then the real resident, the Holy Spirit of God, who really had never left but could never feel comfortable living in that place because things had gotten so dirty, because things had gotten so dark, you couldn't sense his movement anymore. You didn't know where he was going. You couldn't get any guidance. But what he's going to do when the housing inspector gives the certificate of occupancy and it is suitable for dwelling, he's going to walk in and he's going to flip the light switch of our hearts and our lives on. He don't look around. He said, boy, this looks like a sure different place. And then he's going to walk into the recliner of our heart. He's going to sit down. He's going to prop his feet up on that recliner. And he's going to say, I can feel at home in this place once again. I can feel like I'm in a spot where I can start guiding this vessel to where they need to be. I can help this person know what they need to do next. You know what happens when the general contractor God gets done? You know what happens when the housing inspector Jesus gets done with the work of Calvary and that scarlet flow, that crimson flow in our life? You know what happens when the certificate of occupancy is given and the Holy Spirit of God says that I feel at home here? You and me are going to start seeing some things clearly again. Everything that seems so dark, everything that seems so confusing is going to be brought to light in our life once again. We're going to start seeing things clearly again because God's going to be there guiding our way, lighting our step, and holding our hand down the path of life that we need to go down. God's going to show up in the middle of our darkness when we have a breakthrough of the glory of God. There'll be a breakthrough of the goodness of God, His protection, His provision, and then we're going to start seeing God and His sweet presence guide us in the way we need to go. How many of you can say amen tonight? You see, God's guidance, it doesn't only stop with His sweet presence that He'll give us, but then it keeps on going, and it keeps on going, and it keeps on going, and the Scripture tells us it's going to go a little bit further, and a little bit further, and a little bit further, and a little bit further. How much time y'all got? I can keep on going a little bit further, and a little bit further. His glory, His goodness, His guidance is going to keep on going, not only a sweet presence, but there'll be a sustaining permanence as well. A sustaining permanence. You don't believe me? Let's study the Scripture together in verse number 19. But the Lord shall be unto thee, and what? Everlasting light. I heard some say it. An everlasting light. Verse number 20. It says, the Lord shall be thine what? Everlasting light. And the days of thy mourning shall be it. Oh, aren't you looking forward to that? The day, the time when our days of our mourning, the struggles of our life, the battles that we are facing, Lisa, Krista, in this life, aren't you thankful that the day is coming when our mourning, our tears, our sorrow, they're going to be over. Eternally, permanently, they're going to be over. Oh, it's not over yet. Look further at verse number 29. He says here, thy people, 21, excuse me, thy people also shall be all righteous. What a day that's going to be. All righteous, it says here, they shall inherit the land, what? Forever. Are you getting it? There's a permanence there. I'm glad I'm not in something right now that's temporary. I'm glad I'm in something that's going to last. Something that's going to hold up for the next 10 billion years and beyond that. I'm in something that is long-term, a long-term relationship. Listen, I know that it's hard for us to grasp at this point, but I want you to understand there is a way, and God desires His people. You and me, if you say God desires His people to live in a constant state of spiritual breakthrough every day of our life, a constant state of that, I want to say that if we are not living with some measure of a consistent spiritual breakthrough in our lives, there's something wrong with us, spiritually speaking. If you are on a drought right now of having a breakthrough of the glory, goodness, or guidance of God, it's not God that is the problem. There is something wrong with you and with I. We need a breakthrough with God, but we're the problem that is there. There is something seriously, spiritually wrong with our lives. If we are that desperately in need of a breakthrough, it is absolutely impossible. Understand that. Impossible to read our Bible daily, to have meaningful time in prayer daily, and to be faithful to the house of God every time it's over. It is absolutely impossible to do those three things and not have a consistent spiritual breakthrough in our lives. We do not have to walk around this world in total doom and gloom, confused about everything as we live, constantly confused about what direction that we need to turn next and where we need to go. Because you see, friends, He has promised that I can have a never-ending experience of the breakthrough of God, not only in His glory, but His goodness and in His God. That may not do a thing for you tonight, but I tell you, that helps this old boy to know that I can live in that kind of victory every day of my life. The guidance of God will give us a sweet presence. The Holy Spirit will clean up this mess in our lives. And if we need a breakthrough, there's mess in our lives. We need to find us a place. And it's not only that, but there'll be a sustaining permanence. We can have it day by day, every day we live. We don't have to be up one day and down the next day. I'm not saying we're not going to have struggles, but if we're walking with God, hand in hand with the sweet Spirit of God, He's going to give us what we need in these days. But then there's also going to be not only that sweet presence, that sustaining permanence, but there's going to be then a shouted praise. You get this matter straight. Have the sweet presence of God, and you understand the sustaining permanence of it, you will not help but to be able to bless God for it. Praising His name. Having a breakthrough of His glory. A breakthrough of His goodness. Then having a breakthrough of His guidance, He starts showing, you won't be able to keep your mouth shut. You have something to say to everybody you see about how good God's been to you. Breakthrough after breakthrough. Verse number 21 tells us about it. He says that I may be glorified. Who is the I there? Is it me? Is it Jerry? Is it Chad? Is it Jeff? He says that I, the living God of heaven, the Creator of all things, the Redeemer of humanity, that I may be glorified. Great will be the day in the life of a child of God when we get it in our hearts and in our minds that God has an ulterior motive in everything He does, and that is to bring praise and glory to Him. God don't care one thing about you and I getting any praise. He is a jealous God. He requires the praise to be given. That's what I have a problem with in the middle of these testimony meetings that sometimes churches have. You know God's not in it because all they have to do is talk about themselves. I want to be kind, but God ain't interested in hearing about that. God won't hear about Him. That's why I always tell you, you got something to say, I want to hear it. As long as God wants to hear it. You make sure me and I ain't in it anywhere. You make sure everything goes directly and straight to the only one that is worthy. See, in the good or bad, until we learn that, we will never experience the full extent of the breakthrough of God's glory, goodness, and guidance until we learn that we have got to praise God. We've been in a hard time the past 3.5 months. Hard time. I mean, it has been. Nobody can possibly deny that. But can I just deal with the flock about something here for just a minute? That'd be all right with you? Is it possible that we've been in the darkness of COVID-19, this pandemic? Is it possible that God allowed that to see if we'd keep the glory breaking through in our life? To see if we'd keep the goodness of God breaking through in our life? To see if we'd keep our eyes on letting Him guide us in this life? Hey, we shouldn't have to wait until the chairs get back into their right place before we go to worship in the Lord. We shouldn't have to wait until everybody can be back at church until we start worshiping the Lord. We shouldn't have to wait until everything gets back to normal until we start worshiping the Lord. The bottom line is, those of us that were falling into that category, we were never having a breakthrough of the glory of God. We were not having a breakthrough of the goodness of God. And therefore, now that we're maybe somewhat on the other side of this thing for a little while maybe, we're not enjoying the breakthrough of the guidance of God because we missed the glory back here and we never did really see the goodness in the middle of it. And now there's no guidance. We're depressed. We're in darkness. We're confused. We don't know which way we're going to go. God was looking for how, and I said this on March the 22nd, and consistently through it, God is watching how we respond to this crisis. And we better not mess it up. Because the more we mess it up, the more we're not learning our lesson, and the more we're going to deal with the repercussions and the consequences of it. And we may have to go right back into it. Because God will never stamp an A grade on a test that we keep failing. There's no learning curve there. It's either right or wrong. And I'm afraid many of us, through the middle of this trial, we got so tunnel visioned in the middle of it all. We were missing what God really wanted to do. We were putting our great big God in a little box. And we're saying, God can't work through the internet. God can't work unless everything's normal. Everything's just right. My God is just that little. What an insult it is to the God who hung the stars, who spins the earth, to say that God can't move in the middle of our situation. And we missed the glory. We missed the goodness. We got hung in the woe is me moments of life. And now we're walking in darkness while we're somewhat on the other side. Because we got no guidance. There's no breakthrough there anymore. The true breakthrough in this life will always bring the heart of praise to God on the other side of it. If God cannot see, listen to me, if God cannot see on the front side of the crisis, if God cannot see a legitimate heart of praise that will be given to Him when you finally do get on the other side of the crisis, He may not ever give you the breakthrough. And that's why some of us are still in the mess we are today. Even though some of the crisis may be getting a little bit better. We can always know that it was not or is not the guidance of God. If when we get on the other side of our breakthrough, if we don't or cannot praise God for it. You want to know how that you're walking the right path in life? Our heartfelt praise of God will prove if we missed the guidance of God and are now out of His will. If you want to know if you're missing God on the other side of some decision, and maybe you missed the guidance of God, you're hoping you made the right, if you want to know if you made the right choice, then you do an inventory of your life tonight and see how much praise, legitimate, heartfelt praise, is being given to God. God bailed us out. God's goodness. Now here we are in the darkest days of our life, and we see the glory of God break through, the goodness of God break through. We have no guidance because we messed it all up. If we are not praising Him, what we thought was a breakthrough from God, listen to me, may have only been a counterfeit from the devil. Now we're out of the will of God because we missed the glory. We miss the goodness in the middle of the darkness. And now we're missing the guidance every day as we live. If there is more praise in your past than there is in your present, then you messed it all up. If there's more praise in your past than there is in your present, then you made the wrong choice. And somewhere along the way, you missed the breakthrough of the glory of God and the goodness of God in the darkness. And now we look around, and I can't praise the Lord like I once did. We're not having a breakthrough of the guidance of God. Because we messed it all up. Little did I know, the Lord was dealing with my heart about this topic probably 15 to 18 years ago. God had blessed our businesses, and he had done a good work. There came a point that one of my business associates was leaving the company, and all three companies were going to be mine at that point to run and handle and move forward with however I deemed necessary. Come on, Miss Mickey. And so I knew that we needed God, and we had been through some significant struggles trying to figure out, and folks, I needed a breakthrough. I needed God to show up. And so every morning before the start of business, I would try to get to work early enough before anybody else showed up. That was hard to do sometimes. I'd go into my office. I'd get on my knees every morning before the start of business, and I'd say, God, I need a breakthrough. Make him play whenever you want to. I said, God, I need a breakthrough. I need a breakthrough. I need a breakthrough. I need your help. If God doesn't show up, I'm done. I need God. And I didn't fully see it all then, but boy, when I look back today, Brother Randy, I look back today and I can see how God gave me breakthrough. After breakthrough. After breakthrough. And on the other side of this thing now, for all these years, I see how God met every need that I ever had. No, I didn't acknowledge it then. I didn't even realize it then. But I'm acknowledging it now. I saw a breakthrough of the glory of God. A breakthrough of the goodness of God. God's given us a breakthrough of the guidance of God. But you know, God stamped that deep within my heart. And I prayed that way for so long that now I pray that same prayer every morning. But it's no longer for business. I pray that God will give us a breakthrough of the glory, goodness, and guidance of God in this church, the ministry. I pray that for each one of you. I pray God would use us and give us a breakthrough of what's needed to know how God's hand and God's touch could remain on our lives. Boy, we're all coming out of such a weird time right now. Every church in America, the world is. Trying to get everything moving again. But folks, I believe that prayer of praying for God's breakthrough. Why we've seen God do some things He's done around here. God's been so good to us. We've seen a breakthrough of the glory of God. A breakthrough of the goodness of God. He's given us breakthrough of guidance of God. What am I saying? I'm saying if you came in here tonight in need of a breakthrough, it all starts in a place just like this. Every breakthrough I've ever had in this life has started on my knees. And God has shown Himself faithful through it all. If you need a breakthrough tonight, in whatever area of your life you need to see the glory of God, then you'll have a breakthrough of the goodness of God. Then God will start showing you what you need next. Get on the knees and ask God to give you what you need to survive for Him. Rise to your feet quietly and reverently in the house of God. The altars of God are open. May we all find a spot here. Say, Lord, I need a breakthrough tonight. I need to see your glory. I need to see your goodness because I need to see your guidance. I wonder tonight how many of us just need to fall down on our knees and say, Lord, I want to wake up. I want to stand up. I want to clean up. I want to suit up. I want to join up. And I want to hold up the blood-stained banner of the cross in this world today. I need a breakthrough. I'm not willing to get up until God gives me what I need. I need a breakthrough. Sister Mickey is playing Search Me, O God, I think. Maybe that's what we need to play or pray or written off of the